You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Our theme this morning is Journey Together, Engaging with the Word of God. And I couldn't think of a theme that I like better to share with you about than the wonder of engaging with the Word of God, especially in our day and age. We are facing so many problems. And yet, just like Lucy in this video, we walk into His presence and we have no idea all the wonderful, beautiful things He is waiting to show us about Himself and about His world. I love Lucy because she's coming in, she's playing hide and seek. She doesn't come in with amazing intentions, she's just playing a game. And sometimes we come to the Word of God like that. Maybe we're curious, maybe we feel like we ought to, maybe we have a sense we're trying to hide from something. But whatever our reason, we open the Word of God and we find it maybe dusty, familiar stories we've heard since we were children. And then all of a sudden, the air feels different. And all of a sudden, the sun is shining on our lives in such a way that we see things that we have never seen before. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves on the adventure of a lifetime. It is through the Word of God that we meet Jesus, the risen, living Lord Jesus. And I will tell you what the world needs to see today from every one of us in this room is Jesus. And this is what I believe. I was in a restaurant in Lexington about 6 weeks ago, and I went in to get a refill, and there was a woman sitting at the bar, and she said, and over, she was repeating, "Nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about you." And I couldn't tell if she was talking to the bartender or if she was saying what someone had said to her. But all I knew in that moment was the world needs Jesus. And the world needs to see Jesus in us. And the way we meet Him is through His Word. So I want to tell you about a little journey I was on with my family, my boys. I have two boys, 17 and 21, and they had decided to go to Uganda. My brother's a missionary there with his wife and five kids. And they were going to go and spend a month of the summer in Uganda. They had bought the tickets, bought the passports, paid for crazy expensive yellow fever shots. And we were there flying out of Atlanta to Qatar, then to Entebbe. We were on our way as a family to Atlanta. We get a phone call. And my brother's on the other line, and he said, "Crick, it's not good news. The president of Uganda has spoken, and he shut down the country. And we're going back into lockdown. And your boys are welcome to come, but they won't be able to ride in our car, and they won't be able to leave our yard." And my boys were heartbroken. So we finished the rest of our journey, got to Atlanta. They made the decision not to go, and that was the quietest ride home you can imagine. And as we were riding home, Michael and Matt were in the front seat and Isaiah and I in the back, and I opened my Bible and I turned to Luke 11. It wasn't where I was normally reading. I had seen this parable in something else I was reading, so I thought, I'm just going to read there. And all of a sudden, the boys in the car faded away, and this parable from Luke 11 became like neon lights, and I knew Jesus was talking. That's what I want to share with you this morning. This is the parable of the persistent friend, Luke 11, 5 through 13. "And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come on his journey and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me, for the door is shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give to you.' And I say, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him everything he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and she who knocks, the door will be open. For what son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" I'd like to write a book that says, "How much more?" We think We have no idea all that he wants to do in our hearts and lives. So I've never liked this parable. It always kind of made God seem like the grumpy neighbor, and I didn't really like that. So I never spent any time on this, or I just read it over and be like, whatever, I don't like it. But all of a sudden, as I was riding in that car with my two disappointed sons, all of a sudden, this is what happened to me. This is what I heard. Friend, friend, friend. And God whispered to my heart and he said, I am your friend. This is not a parable about tenant to landlord to tenant, master to servant. This is a parable about friends. And one friend knows he's welcome at another friend's house any time of the day or night. So at midnight, he shows up knocking on the door. Friend, friend, I have a need. And here's what I love about this parable. The need is not for himself, it's for another. Don't you love that? He comes, another friend has come to my house and I don't have anything to serve him. So he says, I need three loaves. I have three children. So it was very applicable to me, right? I have three needs, Father. And he said, you are welcome. That friend knew he was welcome any time of the day or night. You know, the meaning for the word intercessor in Hebrew is one who stands between, in whom the world and God meet. That's the story of this. Here's God with all his resources and all his love, and here's the world with all its need. I just want you to think of Afghanistan for a minute. And God says, you can be the one who stands in the middle, who knocks on my door on behalf of another. And that is the meaning of intercessor. And all of a sudden, I was not thinking of anything so great as Afghanistan. I was simply thinking of my children. And so he said, you are welcome to come to me on their behalf. I have all that they need. And all of a sudden, the sadness in my heart began to lift. And all of a sudden, there came into my heart a hope. This isn't just about disappointment. God's got something sweet and good up his sleeve. And all I have to do is ask him for it. And then the end of the story, you know, he says, don't trouble me now. I'm going to give you my own little interpretation. I have a 17-year-old son, and I call him my wild boy. And his puppy dog will go to sleep in our room. And I'm the earliest in bed by far, right? So I may have been sleeping for 2 or 3 hours. Every single night, he'll come in and he'll say, hey, Mom, I'm going to bed. And he doesn't just kind of sneak in, right? He just bursts in, Mom, I'm going to bed. And then if I'm lucky, he'll plop down on my bed. He'll tell me about his day. He'll ask me to pray about something. And for just a few moments, I have face-to-face time with Isaiah. Now, there are occasions when he bursts through the door after I've already been sleeping. And he says to me, Mom, where's the contact solution? I need contact solution. And, you know, I get up out of bed and give him contact solution, not because I love him and not because I'm his mother, but because I want him to stop yelling, right? But underneath, he knows he's welcome in my space anytime. And he knows that some of the happiest moments of my day are when he comes in every single night. Same here. God said, you are welcome in my presence. You are welcome anytime. And you are welcome to have the kind of audacity that says, Father, I have a need. Father, I have a need. It was funny, as we were sitting in the car, all of a sudden I began knocking on the window. I'm sure my boys thought I was crazy. Knocking on the window. Father, I have a need. Because this parable goes from friend, and then the end of it turns to father. What father is going to give a bad gift or a hurtful gift to his child? Oh, no. He's going to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Now, I used to think, I wish you just said you'd give them whatever they ask. And why did you say you'll give the Holy Spirit? And Jesus whispered to my heart, and he said this, I will give you all of myself. So all of a sudden, you come to me on behalf of another, or maybe on behalf of yourself, and you say, Father, I'm facing a medical diagnosis. Father, there's a world crisis. Father, I am facing a financial crisis, interpersonal tensions, problems. And he says, I will give you myself. And you know what? You begin to stop worrying about peace and joy when he gives you himself, because those things just come with him. And he says, all of me, for all of you. Do you know what that's what holiness means? It's not ethical lifestyle. It's not following rules. It's all of me for all of Jesus in the kind of covenant love that says you're welcome in my space at any time, and you are free to come and ask me for anything that you need, and I will give you myself. And do you know what the world needs right now? For all of us to say, yes, we are knocking at the door. We are seeking your face. We are asking you all our questions. I think the number one thing in Bible study when we engage with the Word of God is curiosity. When I was filled with the Spirit, there was no emotion in my life in that moment. But you know what there was? All of a sudden, I was interested. I wonder what he has to say about this. I wonder what he has to say about that. And there was a pull, like Lucy, a pull in my heart to be in the Word of God, to meet Jesus here. Now, I want to tell you three things about the Word of God. One, we don't come on our own initiative. We respond to his call. My other, maybe favorite all-time scene in the Narnia books comes in the silver chair. And they're two kids, and they're pulled into Narnia, and they end up on the edge of a cliff, and the boy falls over the cliff. And the girl's never been in Narnia before Jill, and all of a sudden Aslan comes out of the woods, and he blows Eustace, the boy, to safety. And then he walks back in the woods, and Jill knows he's not a happy lion. He's not happy with her. And eventually they have a face-to-face conversation. And she said, sir, he said, I have called you here for a purpose. And she said, oh, sir, you haven't called us. We asked to come. And in his lion voice, he says, you would not have asked if I had not have called. And this is the thing. He is calling us to meet him in his word. And he's saying, I have something. I want to give you myself. I want to teach you about yourself. I want to teach you about this about the eternal world. I want to show you how to live in your world with my presence in your heart. If C.S. Lewis had written one more book, I wish it had been one, where the children went back to Aslan, went back to England, and lived as those who had met Aslan in England. Because that's what God always does. We meet him, and then he situates us ever more firmly in our own reality, and he calls us to be Jesus to those around us. And it is through his word that we learn how to do that. So we respond. We are always responding, never first. I teach spiritual formation, and I love it, because there's a sense that we build into our lives habits of the heart. But there's also a sense we're not simply disciplining ourselves, we're responding. We're encountering Jesus. The second thing that we're doing is we're entering an ongoing story. So when we engage with the Word of God, it's not static, right? It's not just studying the history and trying to get the principles in our head. It is meeting Jesus and joining him on this big eternal story. And so we step through the pages and we find ourselves, like Lucy, in the middle of something going on. And as we begin to learn what is happening, we find ourselves caught up in this story. Karl Barth, the great theologian of the 20th century, said, in order for the Word of God to determine who we are, here's how we have to come. We come and encounter him as whole persons. My whole person encounters the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he said, a rational event takes place. So we come and learn about the historical events. We come and meet Jesus. When we meet him, a rational event takes place in us. All of a sudden, a pivot moment happens in our lives. And Karl Barth said that the next thing that happens is we join this story. It's going somewhere. And what I love about that is so many of us are struggling with anxiety, struggling with pressures. We're kind of going around in circles. And God says, you've been traveling around that mountain long enough. It's time to join my story and go forward. I have a call on you. I need you. You're joining a story. Will you come? And at that moment, we have a choice. We enter into his presence. We meet him through his word. Everything else fades away, and we find ourselves face to face with Jesus. And then we have a choice. Will we say yes, or will we say, no, I'm not sure about that story. No, I don't think that's what I want to do. But I will tell you, as the needs of our world get greater, we're going to realize more and more there's no capacity in you or me to meet any of the needs of another human heart. But there is all the capacity in Jesus to meet every need of every human heart. There was about a couple years ago, I thought, I really should love the Gospel of John. I like some of the stories, but I've never really gotten the whole book in my head. So I thought, I'm going to read it, just one chapter a day, but I'm going to really let myself think about it. So 21 chapters, 21 days, I read the Gospel of John. I got to the end and I was fascinated. I thought, I'm going to do it again. So I went back and started, chapter a day. I got to the end of the second time and I thought, you know what? The stories of women encountering Jesus in John are different than in any other gospel. They're long. They're at pivotal moments at the beginning of his ministry. At the end, with the resurrection, you have the neediest women, the strongest women. You have everybody from Martha, the bossy church lady, to the woman caught in adultery, right? And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back and count them. And there were seven. Seven encounters, and you know the number seven in the Gospel of John is so vitally important. And then, do you know what was happening in our culture? It was right in the middle of the Me Too movement. And Jesus, I didn't go to the Gospel of John to study women, but all of a sudden Jesus said, there is enough resources in me to meet the need of every woman's heart, to meet every level of pain, to meet every hurt. And do you know what? Out of that study, I was transformed, and then it became my witness. I am in a women's ministry, and everywhere I went, I shared about the seven women in John, and they said, I'm that one. Jesus can meet me. Jesus can call me. Jesus can write me in his story. And all of a sudden, all I was doing was meeting Jesus in the Word, and then he said, I want to transform you, and then I want my Word to transform those around you. That's what he's calling us to. We have a choice. We have a choice. When he meets us through the Word, we have a choice. Are we going to surrender? Now, sometimes we think, we're going to give it our best. We're going to try. We'll see how it goes. But if you actually allow yourself to see the face of Jesus and to fall in love with him and give him enough room in your life to speak to you, you will find yourself with an inner compulsion that never goes away. He said, actually, I can't get away from that book. I read a book yesterday, and she said, I started with 15 minutes, and then it went to 30, and then that wasn't time enough. When my grandfather was here at the college, he had the privilege of interviewing Bruce Olson, who became a missionary to Colombia and Venezuela, and a whole tribe found Jesus because of his ministry. But he was young. He was 19 or 20. He was a Scandinavian kid. And so he met with Papa and he said, I'm leaving school. I'm not going to finish my college education because I'm going to go. I have a call in my heart to go to these indigenous people in Colombia. And my grandfather was a big believer in education. So he said, are you sure you don't want to finish your training? Are you sure you don't want to go all the way through Asbury? And he looked at him and he said, Dr. Kinlaw, I don't know if you can understand this or not, but I have found an intimacy with Jesus that's so deep and so real, I will pay any price to keep it. I have to go. And that's the last thing I want us to think about, because when God calls us, he calls us for the sake of another. He never calls us just to make us more comfortable. And these are not comfortable days. I believe this generation is the generation, maybe of all generations. I believe your moment in human history is profound. And I believe that God's call on you, each individual person, is so important. And I believe you have the knowledge and the skills and the ability to actually change the world. I believe that with all my heart. And what I know is God has no interest in making us comfortable and getting all our needs met without concern for someone else. He's thinking about those women sitting in the bars in Lexington. He's thinking about those stuck in Afghanistan. He's thinking about single mothers in Lexington who are struggling to pay their bills. He's thinking about those who are struggling, and he's saying, would you go? Would you enter into my story like Lucy did? Would you enter in and say, I want to be in that story with all my heart, for all my life, with all that I am. I want to be in that story. And God says, let me write your name in my story. You know, Ruth was like that. I love the story of Ruth. She's a little Moabite wife, and then all of a sudden, she understood who God was, and she walked right out of Moab and right into the historical, eternal story of God. And she said, I claim my place. And she became one of the great, great, great grandmothers of Jesus himself. I claim my place in God's story. I claim my place. I will step up and say, Father, you meet me through your word. You teach me about yourself, and I will share it with another. Now, his way of changing the world, I thought he had great big plans for me, and then I found myself shut up as a caregiver for 5 years. And do you know what? Some of the happiest years of my life. You don't actually know what he'll call you to. It may be just to love one really well with all your heart for all your life. But it may be to reach a people group. It may be to be a witness in the business world. You don't know what he's calling you to. But as you get to know him and meet him in the pages of this of his word, you'll find yourself learning who you are and what he's made you to do. Annie Dillard has a quote in The Writing Life. And she said, a painter does not pick up his paintbrush and then begin to paint in order to fasten and nail down his own view of the world. A painter comes to a canvas with all the neural pathways of his brain open, waiting for what's going to happen between the paintbrush and the paint. And I think sometimes when we come to the Word of God, we're trying to reinforce our own worldview. We're trying to say, okay, well, I got that, I got that, I got that. I will tell you that Jesus, through his Word, has challenged every thought I've ever thought. That's what he will do. Say, I'm bigger than you know, and I'm better than you think. And if you'll keep coming to me, you will find your world getting bigger and bigger and bigger, including more and more people. You'll find your heart filled with so much love. You're like, I don't know how to take it. There is a sense where he's calling us to participate in this eternal story that he's writing. And he's saying, I'm ready for you. Billy was my brother, who's a missionary to Uganda. They ended up coming home because they didn't want to go into another lockdown. And in fact, we're leaving after chapel today and rushing to the airport. They said they'd wait to walk through the gate till we got there. And so you don't know where Jesus will take you, but he said, Cricket, I have a great story. There was a man who was part of a Bible society in Zambia. And he said, he was handing out Bibles, and he came across an old man, and the man said, he said, would you like a Bible? And the man said, no, don't give me a Bible, I'll just smoke it. Those pages make great cigarettes, and I'll just rip them out and smoke it. And so the man said, listen, if you'll read every page before you smoke it, I'll still give it to you. And the man said, sure, I'll take it. So it was a few years later, and they were at a conference. And an old man walked up to the missionary and he said, do you remember me? He said, no, sir, I don't remember you. And he said, you know, you were the guy who gave me the Bible and said I could use it for cigarettes if I promised to read it. And I'll tell you, I smoked my way through Matthew and I smoked my way through Mark. And somewhere in Luke, I met Jesus. That is what we are all about, letting the Word of God transform our lives so that we meet Jesus, and then we allow him to do whatever it takes to put his Holy Spirit in us so that when the world looks at us, they see Jesus. My challenge to you today, get in the Word. Get in the Word. And you might say, well, I already know everything in it. No, you don't. No, you don't. In fact, my grandfather would say, there's enough truth in the Word of God for an intellectual and spiritual reformation every generation. We are coming to a living Word, and we meet him here. And he says, I have so much to teach you. You could spend 1,000 lifetimes learning about who I am and what I want to do in this world of mine. And then you might say, when I come to the Word of God, all the pain in my heart comes up. All the hurt, and I sit down for a few moments and I start talking to him, and all of a sudden I hurt. And here's what I want to say, don't be afraid. Let him be your safe place. Even if you just have to say, well, Jesus, all I can do is 15 minutes a day. All I can do is one chapter. Allow yourself the space to say, you're important to me, and I want to meet you every day. And even if I have to do it with tears, I will meet you because I believe you're the only one that can heal my hurts and change my life. You might say, well, I got a lot going on, Cricket, and I don't have time, and I'm not actually that interested. And I just want to tell you this, a day will come when you will be interested. And it may be sooner than we think, where all of us will be more interested in this eternal story than anything else in existence. And wouldn't it be great if, like Lucy, at that moment, you knew how tall were the mountains in that world and how deep was the sea and where the hills were and where you could meet Aslan? Wouldn't it be great if you already knew the layout of the land? So when that day comes, you say, oh, I already know him. He's already my best friend. I can knock on that door and I know he'll answer. I think that's what he's asking us to do, to get in the Word, even a chapter a day. And my challenge is, in Luke or John, a chapter a day that just says, I'm going to give myself enough space to think about it, to dwell on it, to imagine what it would be, to let the rest of the world fall away and to hear his voice and say to him, Jesus, would you meet me through your Word today? Would you give me your Holy Spirit so I can hear what's happening in the heart of God today? And do you know what? Everyone who asks will receive. And everyone who seeks will find. And everyone who knocks, the door will open. Will you pray with me? Jesus, it's the privilege of our lives that we know your name and we're invited into your presence. And we want to say corporately, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, making yourself real, making yourself known, breaking through our world and saying, I'd like to write you in my story. I would like you to be part of what I am doing in the world. Jesus, there is no greater joy. And we love you, Father, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to end one of the favorite scenes in Prince Caspian. Lucy meets Aslan, and she says, well, aren't you just going to jump in and kill the bad guy? And he said, I never do the same thing twice. And she said, oh, we have to get involved. We have to fight. And she said, I wish I was braver. And he looked at her and said, if you were any braver, you would be a lioness. Let me breathe on you. That's what he wants to do to us today.